Poland, the streets are white. Everyone looks the same. Everyone speaks the same language. Poland is currently condemning itself to being a passive witness to the great civilizational processes that are coming. By not entering this current, we are even more deaf, even more mute, and we see very little. This is terrifying. So says the Polish Nobel Prize-winning novelist Olga Tokarczuk in an interview in the German newspaper Deutsche Welle. And a lot of people have asked me, what on earth is she getting at? What on earth is she talking about? What does she mean? What is she trying to say? Why is she saying this? And that's what I want to answer today. I want to understand what she means by this. Why would she want a Poland that where everything, which is a dream for a lot of British people, i.e. where everyone's the same, everyone speaks the same language, everyone gets on, there's very little violence or terrorism. Why does she want to change that? That's the answer, the question I want to answer today. Before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube, leave a like, hit the bell, leave a comment and all that? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's johnnyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff I dump on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs. I mean, if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, what is she saying? There are three key issues that I think we can try to understand. The first is what A.A. Edwards, the Australian researcher, called cultural cringe. That is, if you are not a particularly important nation, then your tendency is to feel a sense of national insecurity, a sense that you don't matter. And in order to feel that you are an important nation, and you get this very similar phenomenon with people, in order to feel that you are important, you must imitate the important nations, you must imitate the important people, and then you feel that you are important and that you do matter because you're doing what they do. So if you feel, as it were, as an individual, rather insecure about your social status, then there is a tendency to imitate those that have higher status. An example of this is imitating luxury beliefs. So an insecure lower middle class person might notice that upper middle class people go on and on about anti-racism or whatever, and so therefore they will start doing that. They will adopt that luxury belief so that other people will see them as being a bit more middle class because they hold that more middle class belief, and therefore the fact that other people see them as being more middle class will reassure them that they are more middle class and they will feel better about themselves. There is that possibility. I think I've seen this personally, having lived in Finland for 21 years, very clearly with Finland. Finland basically joined the European Union, voted to join the European Union because it didn't want to feel left out. It was high status to join the European Union. It was low status not to be in the European Union, because that was what was true of sort of poor countries that couldn't afford to join the European Union. And so Finland joined the European Union. But then Finland was the last Western European country to embrace multiculturalism. It tends to be slow in embracing everything. It's conservative. But it was felt that being multicultural is high status. Being multicultural is what the high status countries do. And therefore, Finland had better do it. And I think there's probably a current of that in Eastern Europe that you all, as Poles will say, they're in Central Europe, you know what I mean, ex-communist states, that the big boys, the important countries, the rich countries, they are multicultural, they are multiracial, so therefore, in order to prove to ourselves that we are important and we do matter, we had better do that. We'd better imitate that. And we'd better become multicultural ourselves. That is cultural cringe. The second possibility is what we might call the cargo cult model, which is that the most successful countries economically and in terms of contributions to humanity, in terms of inventions and important stuff or whatever, are, of course, Western European countries. So we need to do whatever it is that Western European countries have done that has made them so rich. But we don't understand what it is. Whatever it is they're doing, and we can debate what that is, I've argued that it's relatively low ethnocentrism, which leads to a kind of genius strategy where you promote genius over group orientation and ethnocentrism, but whatever. Whatever they do, we'd better do it, because it will make us successful. And they don't understand what it is. So it's rather like these cargo cults in the South Seas, that were completely isolated until the 1940s. And then the Americans and the British came along with all this amazing stuff, amazing technology, amazing food and whatever. And they didn't, as far as they were concerned, these people were like gods. They couldn't understand what they had done. They couldn't understand. They wanted to work out a way to get them to come back. And they noticed that they came on aeroplanes. And they noticed that these aeroplanes came when someone stood on a runway and waved their arms holding sticks. That's what they noticed. And so therefore, in attempts to make the cargo cult come back, in attempt to make them come back, these tribesmen would stand there waving sticks. Because they, in a very simple way, associated a man standing there waving sticks with the plane coming with all of the cargo. So they didn't quite, they didn't understand what was going on. Now, in the same way, if you don't understand why the West is so successful and you're not part of it, then you will imitate both the good things it does and the bad things it does. Because you don't understand the cause and effect of why it has become so successful. So the solution is just to imitate everything that it does. And this includes things that may be very damaging to it, such as multiculturalism. But I think that the final thing and the most important thing is very simple. It's just life history strategy. As I've explained before on this channel, we are all on a spectrum from a fast to a slow life history strategy. If you are a fast life history strategist, you evolve to an environment in which you live fast and die young, an unstable yet easy environment. In that kind of ecology, you could be wiped out at any second, so there's no selection for being pro-social, there's no selection for cooperation, there's no selection for bonding, there's no selection for investing in your offspring. You just invest in sex and you let and hope that some of your children survive because it's so unstable, and you have to act lethally and violently at any moment. It's basically an environment that is chaotic as it becomes harsher, colder, and more stable. If you act in that way, if you just have lots of children with lots of people and don't invest in them, they could all just die. And so everything slows down, and you become more, you have to get into groups in order to survive, and so therefore you become more cooperative. You need to be adapted very much to your environment, and so everything slows down. You invest in your offspring, you have a longer childhood, you learn about the environment, and you become strongly adapted to it. You put more resources into nurture and less resources into sex. Everything slows down, and you're more cooperative and pro-social, less violent, and it's a more stable environment, and you are a slow life history strategist. Now, this woman is a novelist, and one of the things that predicts being a successful novelist, a successful writer, is that you are a fast life history strategist. These people are often rather mentally unstable, i.e. adapted to an unstable ecology where you have to be lethal and violent and impulsive, and this means they feel feelings very strongly, and they feel the world isn't quite right, and they want to make sense of it and all this kind of thing. And this seems to motivate people to write novels and write poetry and that sort of thing. So this woman is evolved to an environment of chaos. Now, when you're evolved to an environment of chaos, you want to create chaos, because that's your evolutionary niche. That's where you, in a weird way, that's where you feel comfortable, that you feel alive in the moment. A person who is a fast history strategist will feel bored in a slow life history strategy ecology. They'll feel bored. They'll feel something isn't quite right. They'll feel it's wrong. It's not right. No, it's not where I should be. They are evolved and will feel alive and content in an unstable, dangerous ecology. That's what they want. That's what they're evolved to. And if they are not in such an ecology, they will turn their ecology into a dangerous, unstable ecology. And that's what she wants to do. What she's basically saying is, I'm bored in Poland. It's boring. She says that it's condemning itself to living, to being a witness to the great civilizational process. She calls it great. Isn't that interesting? She calls it great. What she's saying is, Poland is condemning itself to be a witness to the collapse of civilization into chaos and violence and war, and not actually being part of that chaos and violence and war. And therefore, because of that, Poland will feel, i.e. she will feel, deaf, she will feel mute, i.e. she will feel disabled, she will feel something's not right. And this is terrifying. So she's saying it's terrifying to be in a situation where I am not part of chaos and violence and war. I want my country to be part of chaos and violence and war, because that's the ecology to which she has evolved. And obviously, the final point is it's just virtue signalling, isn't it? It's just saying my country is white and boring, and it would be better if it was more diverse, and with all of the negative sides that that brings about. But it's a way of virtue signalling in a context in which virtue is displayed by saying that you want things to be multicultural, because that's the new morality, and that's the morality of the big boys. Cultural cringe again. That's the morality of the West. But I think that the key thing is she's evolved to chaos. So she wants to make her country chaos. And I only hope that Poland has the good sense to resist her. I hope this has been of interest, and thank you very much. Remember to subscribe. Tally-ho, see you soon. And, I was going to say Jak się masz, but she's Polish for how are you. But anyway, goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?